Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Good morning, everyone. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am here with the Spirit of Truth Ministry Research Team getting ready for another program that will stimulate your thinking about salvation. Today is October 10, 2020, and we are again delighted to have you with us. We are going to be getting started here in just a minute or two, but first I want to remind you of our websites, which are at spiritoftruthministry.net and spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. There you will find, on the first one, you'll find our book, The Spirit of the Church by Rick Sterling and me, and a lot of good writing by Rick. And on the second, you'll find some historical data, some writing that the others of us have posted. And we think that you'll enjoy both of those sites. I will post those on our chat room. Let's have prayer and we will get started. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for granting us a joyous and peaceful day as we go through and study to show ourselves approved. I thank you, Father, that there having been a choice for this country and for this world, we are now in a new era, although most people don't realize that. And we encourage your spirit in us today to teach us how best to reveal that to the world. I thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Dr. Don. How are you?
Good morning.
Dr. Don is on the phone today. And here in studio, we have Larry. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Couple of mornings, Rick.
And good morning, Rick. Rick has been in the throes of, auto mechanicking the last couple of days. And
finally got an even break.
Yeah. Well, he got an even break because the parts store gave him the wrong parts. So he got everything apart, and then he had to put everything back together with the old parts so he can go and get the new parts and do it all over again. And there ought to be a law. So other than that, how are you doing today, Rick?
Well, sinuses are trying to go crazy, but hopefully it'll be all right.
Pull your mic a little closer, wouldn't you? Thank you.
Yesterday we talked about being born blind and what that means for us, that God, in his way of informing us of the reality of our life, used a man born blind to teach that we all are born blind. We have to learn to see. And if we are taught lies, then what we see are darkness. But if we don't know any better, that the lies that we've been taught are not in reality, or if the lies we've been taught we believe are the truth, then that is our light. But that light comes from the Dark Lord, the Prince of Darkness. The Prince of Darkness is the devil. Do you believe in the devil? Does the devil need you to believe that he exists in order for him to exist?
Rick, one of the devil's greatest deceptions is that he leads people to believe that he doesn't exist. That is a much more... there are lots of people that I know that one of my good friends, and you know him, lives back east now. He does not believe that there is a physical devil. And we've talked about it, but he says that if God is real, then God would never allow there to be a devil like that, that would be able to tear us away from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Tear us away from the love of God. How would you describe that? In other words, what the suggestion is, or what the belief is, that when we're born, God loves us. In fact, because God knows everything from the beginning, he knows the end, then he would love us before we were even conceived. So when we're born, he loves us even if we lie and cheat and steal and cause mayhem and murder, he loves us.
That is the impression that I get.
And that type of a life has its root in the psyche of the individual. So God's love cannot control the will of the individual. But if nothing can tear us away from the love, then how can a will bent on evil act against God?
Yeah.
See, there's always a simple explanation for those who don't want to dig into the depths of spiritual reality. Did Jesus believe in a devil?
Oh, yes, he did.
Does our friend believe in Jesus?
Well, there are days when I have my doubts.
Does our friend believe in God?
Yes.
Does he believe in the God that we believe in, or does he believe in a God?
Well, I once thought I knew, but shall we close the window? Well, they're out
crows
there.
Crows are evil. Very intelligent, but they are very evil. So does he believe in the same God that we do?
No, he doesn't.
Hmm.
And not only does he not believe in the same God, he doesn't believe in the same way.
If you don't believe in the true God, you don't believe in the truth. If you don't believe in the truth, then everything you do believe in is a lie. And you have been deceived. So how do you resolve that? How do you reconcile that? Well, say, there is no devil. So therefore, there are no lies because only the devil lies. In John chapter 8, starting with verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me, since I have come here from God. Yes, I have come from him. Not that I came because I chose. No, I was sent and by him. Do you know why you cannot take in what I say? It is because you are unable to understand my language. Now, before we go on, I want to just discuss that. They had this response from the Son of God came as a result of them saying that they had one Father, even God. So what the Son of God is pointing out is that if God were their Father, their response to him would be the opposite of what it is at the time. What he's saying is what? Simply, actions speak louder than words. Do actions tell us more about a person than what they tell us about themselves? Our friend.
Certainly seems to play out in the world of politics.
Like, what would you say? The debates?
Like everything.
How would someone who believed in and practiced a lie and lying respond to someone who was telling the truth?
As if they were lying.
They would call them the liar.
That's right.
And what if the facts proved that the person telling the truth was in fact telling the truth, and the one telling the lie was telling the lie?
Wouldn't matter.
Why?
Because they are so firmly involved with the lie that they cannot even begin to see the truth. They are blind. They cannot see it.
When he says, the reason you cannot take in what I say is that you are unable to understand my language. Why? It is because the devil is your father. And you, and get this word, it is key.
What?
Prefer. And you prefer to do what your father wants. Preference. Why would you prefer to believe in, worship, and practice a lie? Why? I mean, what is that going to do for you in the future? What is that going to do for you in the present? Well, in this case, what it was doing was giving them power, authority, notoriety, honor.
The devil incentivizes his
but
lies.
How is it that was the people's response to these liars who are sons of the devil? Because the people had been taught to believe the lies. The people hadn't purposefully chosen to believe the lie. The people were not unable to understand. Well, let me put it this way. The people were not able to understand his language, but it wasn't because they preferred the lie.
And why did these people listen to those lies? Because they were spoken by people who had authority from some recognized established
standards
entity, something that they could look at and say, oh, those are the experts, and he got his confirmation from them, so he must be like them. You see, this is the fallacy of higher education, you might say. Now, this is not to say that everybody is like that. I'm not saying that.
Well, they had just gone through the whole thing about Moses.
And they were doctors of the law of Moses.
Moses.
You bet.
Moses gave them the law, but the law didn't come from Moses. It came through Moses.
Well,
it came from God.
And what they were doing is they were claiming that from for themselves.
Well, they had control over the law. And when you have control over the standard, you put yourself in the place of the one who gave the standard. The Son of God said, you sit in the seat of Moses.
See, there we see the scales, particularly the scales of justice. but it's like a merchant who has scales in his store, but every time he weighs something for the customer, he puts his finger on it to weigh it a little more, just a little bit, so that he can profit more from the same item. Does the patron recognize it? Most of the time, the patrons don't recognize the fact that, for instance, there is a finger on the scale of justice that does not benefit them.
Well, yeah, a lot of people recognize it, but they accept it as standard practice.
Because they don't see the person doing it.
Because everybody, they do it all the time. They do it all the time, so
it's become normal.
Standard
it
practice.
Becomes normal.
Why weren't the people upset about what was going on in the temple with the money changers and the, you know, the the iniquity going on in the temple?
Well, one of the most famous sayings about this was from Joseph Goebbels during the Third Reich. He said that if you say a lie loud enough and long enough, it becomes the truth. And that is why the Nazis were able to take over Germany. And we see the same thing happening today, but there is, to coin a phrase based on what we saw in the vice presidential debate, there is a fly in the ointment.
Or on the hairline.
Or on the hairline. But that fly isn't real.
Isn't really there.
It is not
it
really there. Exactly.
The devil is your father. So in order for the devil to be their father, the devil must be real. So those who say the devil does not exist must say this, that God does not exist. Because we are children of one of two fathers. Spiritually. And when I talk about spiritually, I'm talking about what is in our intellect, what is in our mind, what we believe, what we practice, what we worship, what we say, what we hold to. That is determined by one of two spiritual beings concerning this earth. God, the true God, who lives in the heavens, who created all things, including the devil. Although he was not the devil when he was created. At least that was not one of his names. Now you can protest all you want. These religious leaders, the religious elite, they certainly did protest. I mean, the Son of God just called them sons of the devil. How do you think that made them feel? And he did it in front of everybody else. I mean, these crowds around him, and he says, the devil is your father, and you prefer to do what your father wants. He was a murderer from the start. He was never grounded in the truth. Now, there's another interesting statement. The word, key word there is grounded. What does it mean to be grounded?
Foundations built on solid ground.
So the foundation, he never had a foundation in the truth. What he built on was lies. Now, when God created the angels, did he create them already grounded? Did he create them with a firm foundation?
Apparently it wasn't firm if they chose to believe the devil's lies.
So he created them and gave them the right to determine whom they wanted to serve. Now, he created them to serve him, but if one of them or more decided that's not what they wanted to do, they wanted to do their own thing, they weren't prevented from doing that. If they were prevented from doing that, they would have lost the ability to choose. And if you don't have the ability to choose, what are you? You're a pre-programmed robot. Programmed to do one task, and that's it. That is not what God created. God created spiritual beings, powerful spiritual beings, to assist God in administering the universe. And God created human beings, flesh and blood, with the same cognitive ability, the ability to choose what they wanted to do in their service of God in subduing the earth. What the angels had been created for service to God in the heavens, the flesh and blood beings created here from the earth were to do what God needed them to do on the earth, to be the caretakers of the earth. In order to do this, God had angels who had the knowledge to give to the humans to teach them what they needed to know to be able to do what God had created them to do in taking care of the earth. And when the angels did this, they decided that they could be the gods of this world because it was their responsibility to teach the created beings here on earth about the God who created them. But what they did was they took for themselves that which was not rightfully theirs. If God had decided not to create Lucifer, you say, what I say is, how many of the angels would God not create to ensure that no angels rebelled against him?
Well, since he knew the end from the beginning, he would be able to understand that one-third of the angels would go with the devil, would be cast off of heaven, and he wouldn't create those. Now, see, the thing is, what would that do for those created beings' ability?
Let me tell you, Dennis.
To choose.
You need to think about this. Just the fact that he would create powerful spiritual beings with the power to choose, the ability to choose, opens up the chance and the opportunity for rebellion and insurrection. Why? Because where there is truth, there is the opportunity for lies. And if someone decides, you know, they're thinking about God, their creator.
Oh, by the way, just apropos of little aside here, this morning at the behest of my lovely and gracious wife, at the very last minute, I made pumpkin pies. And Rick and Larry came in while I was just kind of cleaning up from that. And, you know, I put them in the oven when Rick was here. So I pulled them out of the oven about 20 minutes ago. And we are now partaking from that. So if there's a little bit of dead air occasionally, it isn't because we have forgotten about you. It's just that this is the first.
And it is a very good.
And it's not oversweet, you know. I usually reduce the sugar because of whatever variety of sweetness I like. But I will tell you, this is the first pumpkin pie of the season. So I've already made my first apple pie of the season. Now this is the first pumpkin pie. So I'm going to write that down on the calendar. Not really.
All right. Enough about the pie, although it is good.
It was enlightening.
Thank you.
An intelligent thinking being keyword thinking, who is taught what they need to know to perform the purpose for which they were created. Would a being need prompting from another being to question? And let's do this. Let's say, because most people would think that you start out good and then the devil comes and whispers in your ear and plants a seed of doubt or a little lie, like what happened in the garden. But who would have planted the seed of doubt in the mind of the devil before he decided to
challenge the authority of God?
rebel.
Big Bang.
Well, considering that prior to the existence of Lucifer the Archangel, there was no sin in the universe. And for who knows how many millions of years after his creation, however many years that was, there was no sin in the universe. And then all of a sudden, he comes up with the idea that in order for God to be a just and righteous God, there also must be a God that is the opposite of that to balance it out.
He wanted more than what was his
to want
to do. And his opinion of himself was greater than what he thought he should deserve, what God should give him. You see, a being who has the ability to think has the ability to question, and the ability to question can cause the issues that happened when the devil decided to do that which he wanted to do and had convinced himself that he had the right to do. And so he did it.
There's a popular phrase, and appropriately so, there's a term called think outside the box. Well, sometimes going outside the box, if the box is based on God's standards and rules and requirements and instructions, it's not appropriate to go outside the box. So maybe the devil allowed himself to think and then go outside the box.
There's a clue, I believe, about what happened in the devil's mind that caused him to do what he did. God did not create any being that the purpose for his creation was for that being to rebel. And even though God knows the future, the future that God knows is that when he creates a being with the power to think and to choose, the being has the ability to determine that what they have, they are not satisfied with, and they want more. What the devil said to the woman is interesting. He said to her, if God knows, the reason God told you not to eat from that tree is that he knows that if you were to eat from that tree, you would gain the wisdom of knowing good and evil.
And by the way, that is good and evil, not good from evil.
Do you kind of hear the devil going, I did it, and look at me, see what I've become? I'm a god. And those who were with me have become gods. What is it that made the devil a god, because he certainly wasn't created a god. He was created, the angels were sons of God. Not the Son of God, but they were sons of God because they were created. Their origin, beginning, conception, whatever you want to call it, came from God. But they were servants, messengers. And that wasn't enough for the devil. He wanted more. He wanted to become a god. And so what he determined was he could be a god if he rebelled against God. Then he would not be a servant of God. He would be his own god. But the only way to rebel against the God of truth is to create for yourself a kingdom of lies. Now, you can have truth in the kingdom of lies, but the foundation upon which all that you have is built upon a lie. So he was telling the woman that if she would disobey God's command, she would know good and evil, and she would be like the gods who knew good and evil. How does a person believe? How does a person come to know good and evil? Well, when we are born, what we are taught about God, about the truth, about the origin of the world, how it came about, and so on and so forth. Some of it is true, but a lot of it is lies. If we decide that we want to serve God, and this is all about service. And I'm sorry, if that makes you feel uncomfortable, like you don't want to serve anybody or anything, you don't have that choice. We all will serve one of two masters. We will serve the devil, or we will serve God. And what determines that is where what we decide to do in our mind, and it has to come about through thought processing. The thought processing is done based upon information received. The information received are words. Words written on a page, words spoken from a mouth. You prefer to do what your father wants. When you serve someone, you do what they want. What does the devil want? Well, it says he was a murderer from the start. He was never grounded in the truth. There is no truth in him at all. When he lies, he is drawing on his own store because he is a liar, and the father of lies. How is it that the devil is their father? How is it that God is your father? How do you determine when you say, well, God is my father? So we ask for proof. What's the proof? Actions speak louder than words. Is what you practice and worship and believe, is it truth or is it lies? Because you can say you're the son, that God is your father, and you're a child of God. But if you're believing, worshiping, and practicing lies, you're a liar. And God is not your father because he is not the father of liars or lies or people who believe in and worship a lie. Now, God knows that we all were brought up with lies because the devil managed to control all sources of information from the time that the Son of God was here testifying on the earth. He got all the churches to promote lies, to teach lies, to worship lies. He did this by incorporating lies into the New Testament. Not every book in the New Testament, but most of the books in the New Testament contain lies, promote lies, teach lies. And they're lies that sound so good, so comforting, so full of love and selflessness, caring. But mainly love. Most people don't know that what they believe is a lie, which was true for the people at the time of when the Son of God was here to testify to the truth, which is why the religious establishment that was founded on lies were trying to figure out a way that they could get him off by himself and kill him without causing too much of a stir amongst the people who believed him to be a prophet. But as for me, the Son of God says, I speak the truth. And for that very reason, you do not believe me. Can one of you convict me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? A child of God listens to the words of God. How do you tell if you are a child of God? If you listen to the words of God.
And you see, one of the great deception is that Satan has put words in quotes unquote scripture that people believe with all their hearts came from the God of creation, when in fact they came from the God of destruction.
But this is nothing new. It's the tactics the devil has been doing all along. These religious leaders here were doing the same thing. They had turned the law into a lie.
Right.
And we have the testimony of Jesus turned into a lie in the New Testament.
Jeremiah 8, 8 and 9.
A child of God listens to the words of God. If you refuse to listen, It is because you are not God's children. I think that's pretty straightforward, you know. But people say, well, but that doesn't apply to me. That applies to them, but not to me, because now I do listen to the word of God. Then why are you telling me I'm wrong? Why do you take issue with what I'm saying? And it's not from me. I'm saying this right here. John heard this. John wrote it down. And this is what I'm saying. That you say, but we're not under law. We're under grace.
And my question is, then who said that?
Now, in the last 10 or so minutes, I want to give you this, because this is important to tie in and to end with this. In John chapter 16, the last part of the last message the Son of God gave his disciples, arguably the most powerful, but that's kind of hard to say because it's powerful from the start to finish. But this is kind of his concluding remarks. John chapter 16, starting at verse 1. I have told you all this so that your faith may not be shaken. They will expel you from the synagogues, and indeed the hour is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's doing holy duty for God. They will do these things because they have never known either the Father or myself. There is that word again, most important word, known. Remember the woman at the well? Son of God said, you worship what you do not know? Or he said, we, but that's what he's talking about. But I have told you all this so that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you. Now we're going to go to verse 8. And when she, the Holy Spirit, comes, she will show you the world. She will show the world how wrong it was and about who was in the right and about judgment, about sin, proved by their refusal to believe me. That is a very powerful statement. All three of these are very powerful. But what everyone needs to realize is sin. What did he prove about sin? What is sin? Sin is the refusal to believe in the testimony of the Son of God, period. Not someone claiming to have a testimony from God. Not someone claiming to be telling you what Jesus testified to. Sin, proved by their refusal to believe in me. And believing in him is to believe what he says, not the person. Not the personage, Son of God, Jesus Christ, Messiah. Believe in his words, his testimony. That's what's important. About who was in the right, proved by my going to the Father and your seeing me no more. Seeing and believing is different than not seeing and believing. And you cannot believe in truth someone you can't see unless you believe in their word. So he's saying you believe because you've seen me. But even more so, blessed are those who believe and haven't seen me. About judgment. Proved by the prince of this world being already condemned. Already condemned. He was already condemned for what he did in breaking the divine law. What is to be determined is how many humans will be condemned because they believe in the prince of this world by believing in his lies. You can say, I believe in Almighty God who created the world. I believe in the Holy Spirit, and I believe in their Son, the Son of the living God. But if you believe a lie, you're lying to yourself and to everybody else, because to believe the truth is to confirm that you believe in God, in the Holy Spirit, and in the Son of God. That's why I read from John chapter 8 earlier. Those who believe a lie and practice a lie are sons of the devil if they receive the truth and refuse to believe it because they prefer the lie. Now, you heard me, right?
Yes.
You're not a son of the devil just because you believe the lie. You're a son, you become a son or a daughter of the devil when you believe the lie and then refuse the truth because you prefer the lie. That's when it comes about. And that's what this is all coming to. This is all coming to a head in judgment. And we ourselves individually will determine our outcome in the judgment by what we prefer to believe and practice.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here today. We encourage you to go to our website at blogtalkradio.com/SOT and go to the episode page. There you can download any number of about 1,185 programs over the past years. We also encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net. Take a look around and read our book, The Spirit of the Church. We will see you all next week from today, Sabbath, for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus, and next Friday at 10 a.m. for another edition of The Bible on Trial. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis saying so long for now. We'll see you all next week. Have a blessed Sabbath and enjoy the day.